there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back, listener, to another episode of Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Sears.
And Jeff, Horror for the Holidays is 2 years old.
Oh, so beautiful.
Our baby's growing up.
It grows up so fast, Jay.
These years just fly by.
These years drag by interminably longly.
Watching insanely dumb, bad...
Trapped Alive. The American Scream.
Krampus the Christmas Devil.
Oh, no.
But also watching good movies. Or fun movies, at least.
Yeah, true.
If nothing else. But yeah, just seemed like yesterday we were celebrating our one-year birthday with a poorly audio-recorded Christmas Horror Story. Now yes. We may actually have most of our audio issues figured out.
These audio issues will never be solved, Jay.
Took 2 years, but we might actually have semi-decent audio now.
People can actually hear what we're saying. I don't know if this is a good development or not.
As my buddy Robert said in one episode, he's like, Jay, you're really loud. He's like, I don't think you'll take offense at me saying that you're really loud. And he's like, so you're really loud. And then I listened and like, Jeff, I've got to like crank the volume up and then I've got to tune you back down when you start talking.
Well, you know, Jay, now we're even.
Yeah, I think yeah. Our audio is at least semi-decent now.
Now I'm really loud and Jay's really quiet.
to celebrate our 2 years, we're watching a sequel this week.
Yes, Jay. Tell the people the amazing movie we watched.
The year 2000/1998, if you when the movie was actually filmed.
Yes.
Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman.
Oh boy.
It's a fun one. Oh, apologies right off the top. I'm having some work done at my house, so there might be occasional noises that aren't under our control after we talked about having audio issues figured out.
Yep. Just pay no attention to the loud sawing in the background.
Also, a tornado passed less than a block from my house on Monday, so that might also be people sawing down limbs and removing trees. We had our neighbor's tree crash into a tree in our yard and knock both of them down. Yep. So that got resolved, but there's other people in the neighborhood still dealing with large branches and trees and stuff falling. So if you do hear weird noises, we're trying our best.
It's been a crazy tornado season this year.
Yep. No, it literally skipped, like, I sent Jeff the map. Like, you could pinpoint, like, where the tornado went, like, where the path of the tornado was and where I live. And it's
pretty,
you know,
close.
Yeah, I walk by there every single night, like when I walk my dog.
If it veered a little bit to the right, it would have taken out this neighborhood.
Yep. Yeah, no, like almost right on top of us. It's wild. But yeah, anyway, let's get into it. Let's deck the halls for November 21st, 2000's Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman.
Decent release date, close to the Christmas season.
I agree. Direct to video, just like the first one. Although I think it has gotten play on like Sci-Fi before.
Yeah, I've definitely seen it around before.
We have returns for Michael Cooney, writer-director, and Christopher Allport as Sam, Eileen Seeley as Anne, his wife, Scott McDonald is back as Jack Frost, but Marcia Clark is Marla again, and Chip Heller is back as Joe.
Yes, Joe, everyone's favorite character.
But we have a new Agent Manners, this time played by David Allen Brooks.
I've heard he's gotten hotter since the last time.
Certainly has. That's probably one of my favorite gags in the movie, is because when we last saw Agent Manners, he was getting his face bit off by Jack Frost.
Yes.
And so now he's like, I went through 15 plastic surgeries just to get a face like this. And it's like, Agent Manners, did he get hotter? Like, and it's just to explain away that it's a completely different actor this time.
Yep.
My only hope is that if we had gotten the third one, which unfortunately we didn't. And spoiler alert, there were plans for a third.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the teaser in the credits
was that we would get a new Agent Manners played by a third different actor.
That would be amazing.
Oh man. So sad. I didn't have much else exciting to talk about.
No, there really wasn't a whole lot of background information available about this movie. The budget, it sounded like, was a little bit smaller than the first one. I think that's why it's mainly confined to the island location.
Mm-hmm. No, they go on a Christmas vacation to an island.
Yes, well, maybe because obviously after the last time, they don't want to be anywhere near snow at Christmas. Yep.
And one other thing I heard was that apparently it rained like every day of shooting. Yep. So their tropical island looks very gloomy in most of the shots. Which kind of works with the movie.
Yes. Happy coincidence.
Yep. But previous experience with the movie, Jeff?
You telling me that it exists and me seeing the cool box art sitting on the shelf.
I had seen Jack Frost 1. MVD Rewind had come out with a 2-pack, so I bought both of them. And then at one point watched Jack Frost 2. So this was not my first time seeing it. But, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's... I don't think it's as celebrated as the original, but it's a fun movie. We'll get into all that.
Yes, it definitely keeps the fun spirit of the original, if not maybe the same level of quality.
Available to stream, I mean, just about, you know, Tubi, yes. Crackle, a lot of the free places.
Even Vudu, which is now Fandango at Home, which they keep badgering me with, Jay. I'm never going to call it that.
Yep.
But just like Twitter and X.
Yep.
And, it's available on there free with ads as well.
Yeah, so I'd say pick up a Blu-ray copy. I'm sure there have been other Blu-ray releases or DVD releases as well.
I saw a couple different ones.
But yeah, I got the MVD Rewind with the kind of cool Jack Frost surfing box art.
Hanging 10, yep. Or I guess Hanging 3.
Which with a bunch of the mini Jacks / snowballs or whatever they call them.
My family.
I'll probably refer to them as mini Jacks, but I might use Snowball kind of interchangeably.
But yes, just be aware, there's smaller mutant killer snowmen this time.
So we'll start off with our synopsis. We get Sam talking to his psychiatrist about the Jack Frost incident, and random people in the lobby, including like
a construction worker, a garbage man.
I was just waiting for like all the village people to like walk in. They're listening in the other room.
Laughing
to a thing that multiple people saw. Like, yes. This is the, you know, it's not that Sam's crazy and he's the only person who encountered Jack Frost. Multiple people encountered this mutant killer snowman.
Yes. I wonder if it's because, you know, they were trying, the FBI was covering it all up. Maybe nobody believes him.
But yeah, the psychiatrist like turns on the speakerphone. Yeah. And so then everybody in the lobby is listening in. And we get a lot of like of Sam kind of saying the stuff from the opening credits of the previous movie.
Yes.
And so like, you know, Jack was nimble. Jack was quick. Jack gouged out eyes with candlesticks, which when I heard that, I'm like, that line's been said before, and yes. I like went back and looked, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that was in the first movie."
And oh yeah, he's like, "So how did you defeat him, Sam?" And everybody's laughing on the other end of the line. He's like, "Antifreeze." He's like, "Antifreeze."
Yeah, everyone's just cracking up, and so you know, but yeah, Sam's all discouraged, and I just thought it was really weird that all this happened, and you know, literally like. Multiple people witnessed it, but Sam's apparently a crazy person.
I think it was just they wanted a cheap gag, basically, to recap the first movie so that people hadn't seen it.
Oh no, it works.
Yeah, I'm saying that's probably why, I'm guessing, because yeah, I mean, it's in a town supposedly the size of Snowminton, but I mean, we don't know what kind of town it is because apparently it has an international airport. But you would think multiple people would know what happened.
We get our title card, and then opening credits play on the screen. As someone in Snowminton Cemetery is digging up Jack's unmarked grave full of antifreeze bottles.
Oh, no.
This mysterious government agent kills the guy digging up the bottles, and then we get a bunch of scenes of scientists experimenting on Jack Frost, including one guy heating him up in a mug in a microwave, and then I think taking a drink of it.
Yes, of course, Jay. What other kind of experiments would you expect?
All the scientists then leave the laboratory, and we then get like a janitor who I think is the idiot from the first movie.
Yeah,
the guy like walking around in like red long johns and like a hunting cap.
Yeah,
walks in. He's the janitor now. Knocks the mug into like the rest of the antifreeze. Jack wakes up, freezes the thing, and then shatters the glass, launching a large shard of glass through the janitor's face, and then Jack escapes down the drain.
Don't forget the rockin' Christmas tunes over this whole thing.
Merry Christmas, baby!
Baby! Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
If that frost don't bite you, Jack will, or something like that.
It was, if you think that frost don't bite, baby, then you don't know Jack.
We then cut to Snowminton International Airport.
Well, they're late, Jay. It's a sign. We should go home.
Sam and Anne are waiting for Joe and Marla to depart for a tropical resort getaway. And Sam's still worried that Jack is out there somewhere waiting and plotting.
He's out there.
They arrive on the plane. Oh, and also this is where I think it's mentioned that those events literally happened last year.
Yes. Yes, it's been 1 year.
It's been 1 year.
And yes, everybody thinks he's like a ridiculous kook after 1 year.
We arrive on the Tropicana Island Resort, yes. And we meet the Colonel and Bobby.
Oh my God.
Who do like a rundown of all the people arriving at the resort, a la some kind of like love boat or like Fantasy Island style thing.
These people are going to find out the true meaning of beauty, Jay. And these guys are going to find out what it means to have true love.
Yeah.
Don't and people just take vacations, Colonel? No.
And they'll discover that friendship is more important than romance. Yes.
But yes, that was my favorite part of that exchange. Bobby's like, don't people just go on vacation, Colonel? The Colonel's like, no. Everyone has a deep backstory.
We cut to the middle of the ocean as two guys are stranded on a raft, starving, and apparently they only have a carrot to eat in their...
Yes.
They're cooler.
No, that's not true, Jay. There was a carrot and a candy bar, but one of those bastards ate the candy bar, yep. And it was delicious.
One of the guys, the guy who ate the candy bar, gets thrown overboard by his friend who wants to eat the carrot. And so, you know, he drowns or Jack gets him somehow.
Yes.
And then the other guy like thinks, oh, I've got this carrot. I'm by myself. And then Jack stabs him up from under the raft with an icicle.
Which I was still wondering about. So he's powerful enough to make ice out of ocean water that's like littered with salt.
It's part of his mutation.
Yeah. Okay.
We then go back to the island. There's like a party going on. We're introduced to Captain Fun, the worst character in the whole movie.
Oh my God, fucking Captain Fun. See, this is the kind of guy I would just have to tell to fuck off if this was a person at a real resort.
He gets everyone to sing like Christmas karaoke songs and like really keeps coming back basically to harass Sam like yes. The whole movie.
You don't get to do what you want to do on your vacation, Jay. You get to do what I want to do.
What Captain Fun ordains. And then there's like a thing where later on like Captain Fun's whole MO is just throwing a costume party.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what situation it is. His idea is to always have a
costume
party.
Basically, you're just saying we have a costume party and get everybody really drunk. Yeah, I mean, it works.
And what if I'd forgotten my wife's birthday? Same thing.
Yep.
So Captain Fun throws this party. We then cut to three girls on the beach. Paisley, Ashley, and Rose.
Yes.
Ashley wanders off to like... They're arguing over two kind of like dude bros that they met.
The two like single-celled organisms that they met at the bar.
literally like, dude, where's my car level? Like, dude, like, oh, check out those girls.
So what is the conversation they get into? Hey, 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 hey.
What does mine say? Sweet. What does mine say? Dude.
When they're talking to the girls too. Hi. Hi. Hi.
Hi. So they're arguing over which of the girls gets one of these boys.
Yeah.
And then one of them's like, you know, walks off like, I'm going to go find more charcoal. And there's just this like set of charcoal on the beach, like just this trail of it.
It's charcoal for the fire, Jay, obviously.
And so she wanders off to go get it as Jack's like nose has appeared on the beach and starts like moving around. Jack then starts dropping icicles to try to hit her, and he keeps missing because his aim's bad.
Yep.
And then Jeff said this is his favorite moment in the whole movie.
He's just like, ah, fuck it. And he becomes a snow-shaped anvil and drops on her head.
Crushes her.
And this is also apparently the stump Jay.
Oh, yeah. There's a line where Jack's like, charcoal, I thought I was underdressed. And I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? And then, like, 5 minutes later, I went, oh, it's the charcoal on the front of the snowman.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. So then one of the other girls, I think then Paisley goes off to...
Yes, she's like, I gotta go check on Rose. She's been gone a while.
Yeah. And then steps on one of the icicles and then falls back and gets impaled on a bunch of the other ones.
Yes.
Which then leaves the last girl there by herself. And, oh, hold on. What happens to her?
I believe... Doesn't she get killed off screen by getting stabbed with the snowman arm?
Oh no. She... She gets kind of like taunted by Jack. She knows someone's out there. And then Jack stabs her in the eyes with the salad tongs.
Yeah.
And because then later, and we get this great like gnarly effect with like her eyes with the tongs like jabbed in them. And then later on, Agent Manners carries around the salad tongs with her eyes on the, stuck on the end of them for a large portion of the movie.
It's evidence, Jay, obviously.
The next morning, Sam and Anne are awoken by Captain Fun in their bed.
Yep.
And then he just leaves.
Also, we find out that Joe and Marla aren't sleeping in the same bed because it's supposed to be before they get married. They have the two like 1950s TV beds.
Even though it's the honeymoon suite?
Yeah.
The colonel finds Ashley's body and calls the head of island security, Agent Manners.
No, Jay. He's going to call him, but then the creepy guy is already here.
Yeah.
And he pops up from behind a tree.
Sam shows up and after like a bit of back and forth realizes that it's Agent Manners, and this is where we get the line where he's like, after 15 plastic surgeries, they were able to give me a face.
No, Jay, that's not Agent Manners. That's Head of Island Security Manners. Not an agent anymore.
They go to call for help on the satellite phone, but it turns out the satellite phone's not working. This is the scene I was talking about where Agent Manners just keeps walking around with the salad tongs with eyeballs attached to the end.
In the words of Bobby, the reason the satellite's not working is because it took a bath.
Yeah, they go and they go and like they open up the box to like fix the satellite and just a bunch of water pours out.
But the supply ship to repair it, Jay, doesn't come until the next day.
And I think it's like Manners says something like, satellite's out. That's not at all suspicious.
Yeah.
While the resort employees have a meeting, the guests raid the bar. I only include this because it just looks like this really fun scene. It's the only scene where it looks like Sam's actually having fun.
Oh, do you remember the really lame excuse the colonel tries to use for the three murders on the beach?
Oh, like coconut sharks?
Coconut shark attack. It's like, you know, what, at least 500 feet in from the beach.
Right.
That's his excuse.
And then I think he's like, really? Like this time of year? And then Agent Manners is like, 'tis the season. We then cut to a photographer and a model doing like a photo shoot.
Oh, yes. A model.
And she goes, and like at one point, like the photographer's like, you know, oh, you need to fix that. And she's like, what? He's like, it's not nippy enough or something like that. So he goes and gets some ice, but it's now Jack has frozen into the ice box.
Jack, he's like, you're going to have to put some ice on those. And Jack's like, now's my chance. Here we go, boys.
And so he goes in, and when the photographer reaches in to grab ice, there's like there's a whole bunch of ice in the thing, but it's all like different Jack voices shouting like, pick me, pick me.
Yep.
And so he grabs one. She like wipes her nipples down with this icicle and then throws it away. And the whole time we're getting like Jack commentary.
Oh, yeah. That's it, baby. Do it just like that. And then she throws him away. And he's like, I can't believe you could just throw me away after what we just shared.
Oh, you cold-hearted bitch. And then she's like, oh, could you get me an iced coffee? So like, and then we get like another seductive scene of her like pulling out an icicle and like wiping it around her lips and like sucking on it.
He's like,
and then crunches
the
ice, which pisses Jack.
Off. He's like, I forgive you, baby. Oh, yeah, just like that. And then she starts crunching it. And he's like, ow, 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 no.
We then we also get a scene where so she's doing like a bikini shoot next to a surfboard. And then the photographer pulls out like a scarf for her to wear.
Yep.
Which this is just an excuse for Jack to get his scarf.
Yep. Yeah, I know, because Jack's like, oh, sweet scarf.
So then the photographer goes to take a picture of her. And as he takes the picture, her head explodes because Jack like reforms inside of her head.
Yep.
Then we get a scene of the photographer getting killed by Jack, but it's just a series of Polaroids falling out of the film.
Make sure you get my good side.
Oh, boy. Manners and Sam meet up. This is a great scene where Manners appears behind Sam, where Manners has an eye patch on. I don't know if we mentioned this. And he's wearing a pair of sunglasses over his eye patch as though to disguise his identity.
Of course, Jay. Makes perfect sense.
They meet up and discuss the murders. And I think at this point, like, they're both convinced that it's Jack Frost.
Yes.
Everyone else is still not sure. But,
yes,
but
especially Marla. She's like being a total bitch about it.
Yeah. But Manners and Sam seem pretty sure that Jack Frost is back. They this is when Captain Fun reveals his plan to throw a big party.
Yes.
And Sam keeps hearing Jack's voice, but he can't really pinpoint him. And he gives chase to this to a snowman. And grabs like a oar to a canoe and then smacks the snowman over the head. But turns out it was the colonel wearing a snowman costume.
And then his wife is like, Sam, you got to get this under control. You almost killed that man.
And then as the colonel is leaving, Sam's like, wait, but your costume still has its nose. I saw a carrot on the ground and I heard Jack's voice.
Yep.
That night, everyone is asleep and a lady goes out and skinny dips in the pool. Jack, this is probably Jeff's other favorite scene. We get a topless lady.
Yes. He freezes the pool over and she can't get out.
Yep. Great kill. Like very, very inventive idea. And then Jack freezes the whole island, including like there's a lady out like sleeping on the sand and just she freezes in place.
Pretty good shot.
Yeah, I thought that was a really kind of fun scene and a neat idea.
Yes, now Sam wakes up and it's snowing outside.
Yep, Sam wakes up, it's snowing outside. He's all worried because, you know, temperatures just don't drop 70 degrees overnight.
Well, yeah, first the colonel's like, well, it did this in 1829 or whatever. And then he's like, well, technically that was hail, not snow. And then Joe's like, well, yeah, temperatures can drop. You know, in Montana, it dropped 80 degrees in one day. And he's like, yeah, but this is the tropics. Can they do that down here, Joe? Well, no.
And they get a snowball thrown at them. And, you know, you're thinking, oh, shit, it's Jack Frost. Nope, it's Captain Fun breaking into the room again and throwing snowballs at people.
Captain Fun has way too much access to this place, Jay.
All the other guests on the island, like, are having a big snowball fight while Jack and Marla and Joe and Anne are kind of, you know, Sam is kind of making them hang back and kind of watching.
Yep.
We then get a scene of Sam like sees a snowman and, you know, thinks, oh, there he is. I've got him. Goes up. He has concentrated antifreeze like that. He's been wearing around his neck waiting just for this moment. Dumps it on the snowman. Turns out it was just a snowman. Oof. And then Jack Frost reforms behind him.
Oh, no. Nah, Jay, that wasn't Jack Frost. That was just another walking, talking snowman.
Yeah, that's a line that Sam says when Marla's like, are we sure it's Jack Frost? Jack then starts hurling snowballs and icicles at all the people, like busts off a dude's arm with a snowball, blood sprays all over the guy's wife. Like she's covered in blood as it's just
also a fun
out of his arm. And then, yeah, just throwing like large icicles, like through people's body parts and stuff like that. Great kills. And then also throws a snowball like in a dude's mouth. And I think like, you know, kind of looks like a stuck pig with the large apple.
Hell yeah. A lot of good kills in this movie for sure.
Jack kills all those people. This is where Sam, Marla, Joe, and Anne kind of hold up in their room. Manners is able to get in.
Yep.
And he turns out Sam has brought along antifreeze and super soakers. So they sneak out to
Don't forget waterproof caulking to seal all the cracks in the doors and everything.
And we get this scene where, like, Sam and Manners go to sneak out, and then, like, Anne pokes her head out, and she's like, good luck, Sam. And then Marla pokes her head out, good luck, Sam. And then Joe pokes his head out, and he's like, are you going to tell me good luck, too? And he's like, no, you didn't bring any food.
Yeah, so if you stop by a kitchen, could you bring me any slams and back inside?
And so then they start, like, sneaking along. They're walking past all these dead bodies, and then, like, Joe hits on the glass again, he's like, food!
Yeah. Oh, before they even leave the room, remember, Manners is like, I'll go warn people. And Sam's like, I'm going with you. And then Joe's like, I'm. And he's like, no, Joe, you have to stay here. He's like, yeah, that's what I was going going to say.
Joe's great. So they kind of sneak through. They're looking for Jack. And they stumble into the kitchen where they find the Colonel, Bobby, and Captain Fun.
Yes.
Who have held up in the kitchen. But when they, like, busted with their antifreeze filled super soakers, all the people holding up in the kitchen start throwing pots and pans and knives and shit at them.
Yeah, he conks. Sam gets conked on the back of the head with a pan, and then the Colonel's like, I think we're even now.
This is where Sam kind of reveals that it's Jack Frost and the whole thing. You know, the only way to defeat him, the way we defeated him last time was with antifreeze. And the Colonel's like, well, I've got barrels of antifreeze in the back. So they're going to try the same plan they did last time.
First, Captain Fun freaks out and breaks his Captain Fun persona. And he's like, oh, yeah, tropical island. I'm sure we'll have tons of antifreeze around here. And Bobby's like, is antifreeze the same as coolant? And he's like, yeah. Well, then we have barrels of it for the generator.
And so they fill up this whole pool with antifreeze. And Sam's going to be bait to lure Jack out.
Yep.
And so Jack goes to, like, make a move towards him and trips and falls into the pool, and we get this great Jack melting effect and stuff. And, you know, oh, the movie's over, you think. Nope, because of Jack's mutation, antifreeze doesn't affect him anymore.
At least not as badly. Yeah, it doesn't actually kill him.
But he starts, like, hacking up snowballs, and, like, we get this great scene of Jack just, like, puking, like, pure, like, white, like, liquidy snow.
Yep.
All over, and then this little snowball that they're able to kind of pick up, and that will hatch later into mini Jacks, which we get a bunch of those.
Yep, tons of them.
I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Well, the only thing really is there's a funny scene before that where they're filling up the pool with antifreeze and setting the trap, where they're like, someone has to act as bait, because the colonel's like, yeah, we caught a tiger this way, and we used the commanding officer's dog as bait. And they all start looking at each other one by one, and Bobby is the last guy in the line, and he looks over, and there's nobody there, and he's like, no, I'm not doing this. And Sam's like, oh, I'll do it.
Oh, also, we forgot to mention one of the dude bros sticks his tongue to a frosted pole.
Oh, because the beer is warm,
Jake. Yeah, and then Jack rips his head off, leaving the tongue attached to the pole. We forgot to mention that happened earlier.
Yes, and Jack, totally patronizing like usual, is like, what's wrong, bro? My tongue's stuck, man. Oh, let me help you with that.
Also, we get Joe theorizing that because Sam was bleeding when he fell into the antifreeze pit, that his DNA mixed with Jack's, and that's why he's been able to, like, hear Jack's voice and stuff like that.
And Marlo's like, you're such a fucking idiot.
You've been watching too many movies on the Sci-Fi Channel. So they go, they take the snowball into the, as Jack flees, they go and they take the snowball into, like, the kitchen, and it hatches to reveal
a mini snowman.
This little tiny snowball Jack that then immediately sprouts a giant icicle and plunges into Captain Fun's eye, killing him.
He's like, dad, dad. And then he's like, oh, what a cute little guy. And he's like, kill, dad.
Manners gives chase of Jack with a laser scope mounted super soaker.
Yes, of course.
And winds up in this room where with basically full of mini Jacks.
That's called an assault style super soaker, Jay.
And then we get this great line where Anne, like, calls over on the walkie-talkie. And she's like, if you see any of those mini snowballs, you know, you need to steer clear of them. They're evil. And he's like, could have told me that 5 minutes earlier, as it is in a room surrounded
File that under things that would have been good to know 5 minutes ago.
He tries to leave the room, but one of the Jacks has crawled up the door, bites his fingers off, and then we get a bunch of the snowballs all attacking him and biting him at once.
Yep.
You know, assuming Manners is dead, although because, you know, this is Jack Frost, you assume if there was a Jack Frost 3, Manners would have been back as a different actor. He'd be back, I said.
But like with no fingers on one of his hands.
The others try to experiment with the mini Jacks. These things include like frying in a frying pan, blending, and putting in a waffle maker.
Yeah, all the usual torturement.
Nothing seems to work. So Anne has a plan to trap them in like little containers instead.
Yeah.
And then they'll bury them twice as deep and they'll just leave them alive. One of these snowballs, I think, would be an awesome prop to have owned from this movie.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
If one of these ever comes up on sale. The other thing that I would have wanted is there's a scene where Jack is inside of a snow globe.
Yeah.
Would love to own that, too. I think that'd be a cool prop to own.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think the best snowball to own would probably be that, like, bloodied one from the end when he's holding it.
Or the there's one with, like, a mohawk of icicles. Yeah, that one would be cool. The Colonel, Joe, and Anne are able to go about trapping them. We get this great scene where Joe fights with one. He has a shop vac.
Yeah.
And it's clearly labeled. There's two parts to the switch, suck and blow.
Yeah.
But he's able to trap one of them with a shop vac. The Colonel thinks he has one trapped, and then it turns out he's surrounded, so he gets chased off by them.
He's like, asleep, eh? Come to the Colonel.
And then like he like looks down, and there's a shit ton of them around him, and he's like, oh yes, jolly good. And then he runs off. Anne finds a bunch of survivors, and then a couple snowballs attack, maiming and killing all of those survivors.
Of course.
And Anne picks up a drink and throws it at one of the Jacks, causing him to explode.
So
she takes whatever the drink is to Bobby, who at first doesn't want to drink it because it's covered in blood.
Well, obviously, yeah.
And then she's like, no, like, what is it? What'd you make?
A little bit of light rum, some maraschino cherry, and of course, bananas.
Which, earlier on, at one point, someone offered Sam a banana, and he's like, I'm allergic to him.
Yep.
Turns out that because Sam's allergic to bananas and their DNA switched during thing in the first movie, that now Jack is allergic to bananas.
Oof. Violently allergic, apparently.
Yeah, it causes him to explode and shit. Awesome stuff. then get this scene where they're making a bunch of like daiquiris and like making a bunch of banana products and go around spraying all of the mini Jacks, causing them all to melt and explode and stuff.
Yes, you get a montage.
And this is where what Jeff brought up, the one that's covered in blood that Jack picks up. This is the one that Jeff would like. This is yours.
He cries a single tear and he's like, now it's killing time.
He pops up, kills Bobby and the Colonel, shoves like a giant icicle up like the Colonel's mouth.
Yep.
And then slits Bobby's throat. He then we cut to Marla and Joe, who are like, it's past midnight. That means today's the day we're going to get married. You know, I pledge to love and cherish you, blah, blah, blah. And then Jack pops up and he's like,
I now pronounce you fucking dead.
Yep. And chases them into a freezer where they close the door. And, you know, tries to stay and fight him. And Jack traps her in. And it's like four walls of snow made out of Jack. Nice. And then he starts like sending in icicles like an Iron Maiden.
Yep.
You know, stabbing at her. And then he reforms as a snowman around Anne. And then Sam appears with a bow and arrow with a banana taped to the end of the arrow.
Yep.
Launches it into Jack's chest and causes him to explode into this big bloody foamy explosion. It's
a big dishwasher foam mess.
And so he's running around. He's looking for Anne. He can't find her. And Anne's hand kind of shoots up and he picks her up. And they have this really touching moment where Anne says, I fucking hate Christmas.
Yep.
And then they walk out onto the beach talking about what they're going to do next year for Christmas.
Where are we going to travel next Christmas?
How about Greece? I don't want to go back to an island.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That was one of the best jokes Sam did the entire movie.
And then the credits roll as we get a scene of the tanker that was supposed to bring all the supplies to the island. They're like, oh, it's covered in snow.
Well, it's badly dubbed like a Japanese Godzilla movie would be.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's covered in snow. And then they're like, wait, what's that forming out of the island? Jackzilla! Yeah. As a giant carrot falls on top of the ship, breaking it in two.
Obvious miniature, of course, because it's a Godzilla parody.
And then we get the Merry Christmas, baby. Yeah. Jack Frost has been reading his ear.
Yeah.
And the credits roll. And then we get a scene of the freezer door that Marla and Joe ran into. And the song finishes playing. And then you hear Marla go like, Can you let us out?
Is anybody out there? Joe's turning blue.
End of movie.
Yeah, perfect ending.
So that's Jack Frost 2. Well, where do you want to start off with our categories, Jeff?
Let's see how Christmassy this thing is, Jay.
Christmas spirit. How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills?
The kills, since they're done by a mutant killer snowman, are all very Christmassy.
I agree.
The actual island is not very Christmassy.
There are scenes that are very Christmassy. Like, they've decorated, like, kind of the inside of one of the buildings.
Yeah.
But, yeah, overall, like, not super Christmassy. But also, it kind of works with the whole idea that they're trying to get away from Snowminton. Yeah.
You do have a nice snow scene and stuff at the end, so.
Like, I thought in a weird way it worked really well, like, the whole idea. And then the fact that the island gets snow-covered and stuff, like, it, by the end, it all kind of works, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, I'd say overall it's medium, but that's just because the first half of the movie, they're purposefully trying to exclude Christmas.
Did you have a favorite kill?
Yes. Well, I have two favorite kills, really. I love the snow anvil one. That one was pretty good. And I love the kill he does, not really a kill. I like the attempted kill he does where he makes himself into, like, the four-walled freezer and starts the Iron Maiden spikes in at her and then just reforms himself on top of her.
I thought that was a great one. I honestly think my favorite one might have been the ripping the head off the tongue.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Was a good one. But I loved the eye gouging, the double eye gouging with the tongs.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite one was the throwing the snowball, ripping the dude's arm off, and then blood spraying all over the dude's wife.
I'm gonna go anvil for my number one, and number two, I like that kill he does to the photographer that comes out in the pictures,
where he like stabs him in the eye with his carrot nose and stuff.
It's pretty good.
A lot of eye gore in this movie.
There was a disturbingly large amount of eyes taken out. I wonder if that's a reference to Agent Manners.
Oh, and then it comes back around. I wonder if someone involved in this movie was involved with Black Christmas 2006.
Could be. They would have had time.
Yeah. I like, my wife pointed that out. She's like, what is it with Christmas movies and people getting their eyes stabbed out? And I'm like, oh, you're right. All right. Moving on, do you want to do Christmas Carol's favorite quotes?
Yes, why not, Jay? There's a lot of them.
I was going to say the elephant in the room, all the quotes.
Yep.
Well, my favorite quote, I'm going to start off with that. As right before, like, the credits roll, like, Anne, like, gets rescued from the Jack Frost goop. Yep. Fuck, I hate Christmas.
Yep. Agent, are you there? Manners, listen, if you find one of those snowballs, don't pick it up. And Agent Manners goes, great, make a list, things that would have been useful to know 5 minutes ago.
When Jack kills the guy on the raft, slashing through the raft, thank you for the nose, I'm off to the island.
Of course, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick, Jack gouged out eyes with candlesticks.
There's, it's either Paisley, Ashley, or Rose, one of the girls, they're at, like, the big party that Captain Fun's throwing, and the girl goes, he's so grandpa.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but...
my absolute favorite and final quote is Marla. Oh, come on, Sam. We don't even know if it's Jack Frost. Sam goes, no, Marla. It's probably some other walking, talking snowman that everyone's talking about out here.
That might be the best one. I've got a couple more Jack quotes. Charcoal, I was feeling a little bit underdressed.
Yeah.
There's something that needs a little Christmas stuffing, if you catch my drift.
Yes. I'll do one more. When he's being rubbed on her nipples, and he's like, I must have been a very good boy this year.
Cowatunga, dude, as he rips the dude's head off his tongue.
That's very good, too.
And then my last two are Sam seeing Jack murder all the snowball fighters. It's another holly jolly Christmas. And then, so it's Anne. Don't tell me that's Manners. Joe. Agent Manners from last year? Marla. He got a lot cuter.
Yeah. Agent Manners hotter this time.
New hot Agent Manners. I said to Jeff, I was like, if I, you know, I've been thinking about getting a Jack Frost tattoo, but I don't like adding to my sleeve, but I don't know what I want to get. I think I might get Manners with the Super Soaker.
Yeah, that would be good. You could have him do that. Have him the Super Soaker in one hand and have him hold the mini Jack in another hand.
But yeah, that's kind of my thought. So we'll see. We'll see if I wind up doing that or if I wind up doing something else.
I would say either do that one or do the Jack Frost from the cover of that DVD where he's snowboarding or surfboarding.
That might be a good one too. But yeah, Christmas wrapping, favorite set designs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Costumes.
I liked the touches they did to the resort, like the Colonel's lounge and the bar, the tiki bar was pretty good. I even liked the setting they did for like their vacation room where they keep going in and out of that like honeymoon suite and Captain Fun keeps popping up inside their room. It's like, does this place have like secret passages or what?
I loved New Manners' like whole get up with the eye patch and stuff like that. I thought he looked great. I agree completely about like the resort and stuff. I thought the resort was awesome, really cool. Loved the Snowminton International Airport.
Oh my
sign.
God, that was amazing. Sam's island print shirt seemed like something you would like to wear.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, and of course there were all the bodacious blonde babes.
Oh yeah, all the babes on the island
in their bikinis.
We called him off the air. You and I referred to the Colonel as like the Kirkland John Cleese. Yes. Like,
he's not Dollar Tree John Cleese. He's a little bit more high quality.
But yeah, just saw him and I'm like, that's clearly who he's trying to be, or that's clearly like the inspiration for this character is a John Cleese.
Yes.
And then also, I mean, the Jack, like, you know, all the kills, the tiny mutant snowman, like all of that looked great. All of that was still as good as the previous iteration of this movie.
There was only a couple times where I thought maybe they could have done like a little bit smoother effects on the little snowman, but I mean, that's probably just down to budget.
That's kind of going to bring us into, I think, Broken Bulb, Brilliant Bulb. That'll kind of fit nicely. My Broken Bulb is somehow, you know, even though I think the, like you said, the budget was a little less, but they'd had more time to work on it and stuff like that. Somehow I don't think it's as good.
No.
Like, Jack, there's a new kind of look to Jack. He's a little more boxy and like probably like a better looking snowman. You get some really cheap, like poor quality CGI effects, but you know, it fits with the movie being a silly, dumb movie. But just, I don't know, even though like, you know, time had passed and, you know, you think they'd had more time to work on stuff, just not everything kind of fits as well as the first time.
Jack's hands in this one, for whatever reason, looked a lot more like oven mitts almost. It was kind of jarring when he's putting his hands on people.
Yeah. No, just like a handful of things where you're like, you know, it's weird that, you know, things have gotten better, but somehow, like, some of the effects, I think, got a little worse.
It's like, we've done this before, and so we should be experienced at it, but yeah, he does not look or move as good.
Especially when the first one is kind of, like, a master stroke in that ability to, like, doing more with less. Like, you know, they're hiding Jack moving around and stuff like that, because...
I mean, neither one of them is a high-budget movie, for sure.
But like there, you know, it feels like there's like a bit more, like when you see Jack, like he's doing more, which is like exciting, you know, you get these extra things, but it just didn't work as well as it did in the first movie.
Yeah.
Do you have a different thing, or was that kind of your same?
That was basically the thrust of mine. Yeah. It just, I don't know. It seemed like even though, it should be a higher quality movie, it feels like a little bit, it almost feels like, you know, the first one was like a theatrical release and then this was like a made for TV movie, almost like the level of quality difference.
But yet they're the exact same release.
But yeah, they were both only released at home and they were both made for around the same amount of money, it seems like. And it was all basically the same team. So I really don't understand the gap in quality.
But my Brilliant Bulb, besides the new Agent Manners, who's great, my actual Brilliant Bulb is somehow just still captures the magic of the original. Like, it's still really funny. It's still really good. Like, even though I don't think it's as good as the first one, like, it's still kind of right there. And, like, you don't always get that with sequels. And, you know, expands the lore well. Like, you know, kind of tip of my hat to Michael Cooney for just doing a great job and, like, kind of, you know, keeping everything kind of the same.
Yeah, it's kind of a thrust in the same direction. Mine was just the fact that they were able to balance, again, the level of humor. Although there's more overt humor in this one, I think, than there is in the last one. The last one had a lot more, like, sarcastic humor, like the antifreeze cookies he's making for his dad. But they still balance really well, the humor with the still, like, visceral, like, violent kills. Because there's a lot of brutal kills in this movie.
Oh, yeah, some real gory ones.
Even though it's really funny for through most of it. But yeah, that the balance they struck. Because, I mean, horror comedy is always dicey. You can always go too far in one direction or the other and people won't like it. And, I mean, also, apparently, it depends on what kind of humor you think is funny, too. Because I think we could have another match in the Bikini Bloodbath Christmas situation. Where it's like, this movie has so much humor in it. If you don't like its sense of humor, you're probably not going
to
like it.
Right. I think that's a good kind of place to draw a line. Like, Yeah, I completely agree with that statement. If you don't like the humor, you're probably not going to like this movie.
Yep. And it is really, it's surprisingly lowly rated online. I was like, it's definitely not as good as the first one, but it's not like a huge drop or anything.
Especially for people who hate I'm not surprised because people hate Jack Frost 1.
Yeah.
Like I've seen so much hate for that movie, and I'm like, no, these are fun, interesting, like well-made movies. Like these are not movies you should hate. Certainly, you know, once again, I've seen people say this is the worst movie they've ever seen, and it is far from
no
that.
I mean, this is not even close to the worst movie we've ever seen, but again, it's like we talked about before, that could just be because they haven't seen that many movies.
Well, do you want to get into, we'll do our final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho ho hilarious, is it seasonally scary, or is it you'll be sorry? I mean, It's pretty obvious, right? Both of our answers are going to be ho ho hilarious.
Yes, that was what I was choosing.
Like I said, not as good as the first one. Still really solid and makes a great follow up to the first movie. A lot of, you know, expands the lore. I honestly kind of felt like, you know, when I saw like the mid credits and post credits scene, I was like, you know, this movie and one movie, like these two movies are, you know, do more with the lore and do a more concise, more interesting movie than a lot of the Marvel movies do.
Yeah, no, it's true. They definitely, it is, it's the hallmark of like indie filmmaking that you can do a lot with a little if you put your heart into it. And you could definitely see that in both Jack Frost movies.
And I, you know, also this will be a perfect chance to bring up, wish we could get that third one.
Well, Michael Cooney says he's still interested in doing it, Jay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe we could get, honestly, there should be like a GoFundMe campaign or something for that movie, because I bet you there's enough people who could fund it.
Yeah, I agree. Either that or the other thought I had is do Jack Frost 3 as like a comic book or something.
Well, especially, I mean, look at, because they're like, oh, you know, it's going to be Jackzilla, basically. That's the concept, a snowman kaiju. And look at what they were able to do with Godzilla Minus One. Its budget with advertising and everything was only $9 million. And it won an award for the best special effects in Hollywood that year.
And I don't think he'd be able to Indiegogo, you know, $9 million.
I've seen projects get more than that. Movies have made $30 to $40 million crowdfunding before.
But yeah, no, so, it'd be worth checking out.
Godzilla Minus One also has huge like war scenes, like naval ships, fighter planes, all kinds of stuff. He wouldn't need all that. I bet you, if he could raise a solid like $2 million, I bet he could make a great Jackzilla movie.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of my one final thought is like, I would love to see the end of this trilogy. I would love to see where this would go.
But I mean, ho 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 hilarious for sure. But like I said, it's there's always the caveat with these that if you don't like the comedy, then you're probably not going to like the movie.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you don't like dumb, this is like a lot of dumb jokes and puns, Christmas puns, which we love, of course, but you may not.
Well, I think I think we've kind of tried to make that clear over the run of the show, like. That, you know, as we do it, like, you know, these are our reviews, like, you know, as we do nitpick and kind of fight with, you know, anonymous people online who say these are, you know, movies are bad or movies are good or whatever.
Oh my God, don't get me started, Jay.
We do, these are our ratings, these are our opinions, but, you know, if you've liked other movies we've recommended and, you know, you've enjoyed the humor we've pointed out in other movies, you know, I think you'll like Jack Frost too.
You know, maybe we should see what Michael Cooney is doing, Jay, and see if we can get him on here to pitch his Jackzilla idea.
He has an active Twitter account. We could try. I don't know if we'd be successful, but we could at least reach out. Jeff, you can turn your hate campaign from me to try to get Michael Cooney to be on the show.
Who said I was running that campaign? That has never been proven, sir. I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know who this Jay Logsdon character is, even.
Yeah, me neither.
I never heard of him, but I asked an MIT professor about you, Jay, and he said no one had ever asked him a question about you before.
I'd believe that. All right, well, let's move on to our naughty list. I'm pretty sure we had last time, I'm pretty sure we had Jack Frost pretty high.
Well, yeah, I mean, because he's basically invincible, unless you can use his one weakness against him, which now he doesn't even have that weakness.
Now it's bananas, but it might be something else for the third movie.
Yes, but, well, yeah, and because of the nature of his genetic experiment origins, he could become immune to bananas, yeah, or like he became immune to antifreeze.
And you know, we do get the hinted at Kaiju Jack, at least at the end of the movie.
Yes, so he did survive, obviously.
I think he's an apocalyptic level threat if he's a kaiju.
Yes. Especially since he would be a kaiju that would have the ability to dissolve himself into the ocean or whatever, so you couldn't even fight him if he chooses not to fight you.
So do you think that puts him above our various devils?
See, that's where it's like, does being a giant monster make you more powerful than the devil? That's hard to say. I mean, I would say if he was the Kaiju Jack, he would probably be more powerful than, like, our low-level devils that do, like, the trickery-based stuff.
Right.
But I don't know if he'd be as powerful as, like, you know, the top-level devil or not, or even the ice blocks, the kaiju-sized Krampus. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, from Rare Exports?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Man, that's the thing. I thought we ranked that pretty low because we didn't get to see all the power.
We didn't know his powers, but yeah. If he was free from the ice block, I bet you he'd be pretty powerful.
Yeah, so my thought was, like, maybe stronger... Yeah. Maybe I would put Jack just below Nuclear Apocalypse from White Doomsday.
I would say we probably could do that if we had actually seen him as a kaiju, but since all that happens at the end is he drops a carrot or whatever on the ship, I don't know. If we should rank him based on his proposed powers as a giant monster, or if we should just rank him based on his powers in this movie.
Well, if we're not going to do that, then I say we at least make him... You know, once again, we don't actually have this list. One of these days, I'm going to go back and listen to all the naughty lists and actually write it down.
He's certainly, especially in this one, now that he's no longer weak to antifreeze, he's a top-tier opponent, I would say.
I think I'd put him above the devils, but maybe like just below... I don't know, alien zombies from Black Friday, maybe?
Well, especially now that he knows, because the whole reason that the banana thing worked is because he didn't know that he was weak to bananas.
Yep.
Because he didn't realize his DNA had merged with Sam's. But now that he knows, he could just, when you shoot the banana at him or whatever, he could just turn into a puddle of water.
Yeah. Well, we don't know how big Kaiju Jack is.
True.
We versus the giant zombie aliens in Black Friday. And there's multiple of those.
Well,
so
we just don't know enough about Kaiju Jack to rank him as that. So I think we have to go with his powers he's shown in this movie.
All right. So just below aliens from Black Friday?
Yes.
All right.
Because he definitely has the potential to be an apocalypse level threat if he makes enough miniature Jack snowman.
Works for me.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff. Well, it's time for a little segment we like to call
Garbage Day.
Huh?
No.
All right, Jeff. Well, it's as we said at the top of the episode, it's our 2-year birthday. So our Garbage Day isn't in an email. It isn't junk food. It's just going to be us talking about 2 years of horror for the holidays.
Okay. Or is this the part where you surprise me with some terrible thing I have to eat, or is this really just talking about
No, there's no Game Master today. Although I could Game Master.
I was going to say, I'm wary now. I've been ambushed so many times.
There's no Game Master. There's no junk food. Just, I thought we could just kind of, like I said, talk about 2 years of the podcast. Maybe talk about favorite movie we watched, worst movie we watched this year.
Oh, man, that's hard to suss out.
And maybe our favorite episodes of the year. I think those were kind of the three things we did last time.
Yes.
And maybe like hidden gem, something that we thought maybe wasn't going to be good and then wound up being good.
True.
And also maybe do a retrospective on the old Spooktacular.
True. We could talk about the first annual, but not the last annual Horror for the Holiday Spooktacular.
All right, so right off the bat, I mean, worst movie, Krampus the Christmas Devil.
Yeah, I don't think you can really make an argument for anything else.
I think we watched maybe more bad movie, like bad movies this year than we watched the year previous.
Yeah, we've definitely had some bad ones.
But I don't, you know, Trapped Alive and The American Scream are nowhere near as bad as Krampus the Christmas Devil. That is the worst thing I've ever seen.
As bad as Trapped Alive and American Scream are, they're still at least movies.
But favorite movie we watched this year?
Well, let's see.
I guess Trapped Alive was technically last year.
Yes, so. I believe it was right before our last year ended. Because it wasn't it episode 26?
I think so.
Back when we were still doing them every 2 weeks.
Then what was American Scream also last?
No, American Scream was in this year's episode.
Okay.
And so it was Christmas Evil and The Dorm That Dripped Blood, Night of the Comet. I was going to say Night of the Comet, I really liked. What was Anna and the Apocalypse?
Anna and the Apocalypse was really good. Black Christmas 2006 was solid.
Of course, we had Two Front Teeth. That was a really good one.
Oh, yeah. Two Front Teeth might be my my sleeper choice. Although the Mean One might also be my sleeper choice.
I was going to say the Mean One was really good.
But yeah, I think my sleeper favorite is one of those two.
Oh, of course, we had the Day of the Beast too.
Yep, Day of the Beast or Christmas Evil were probably going to be my vote for favorite movie of the year. Yeah. Although also Silent Night, Deadly Night too. But sleeper hit, like one that I wasn't expecting to be as good, definitely like Two Front Teeth or The Mean One.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Two Front Teeth for my sleeper hit. For my favorite, I think I'm going to go with Anna and the Apocalypse, but it's really close between that and Day of the Beast.
We had some really, really good ones this year. Yeah. Like that. And then had a lot of like silly kind of fun ones.
For all the bad ones we had this year, we had some really good ones too.
Now, again, I'd completely forgotten about Night of the Comet. That one was...
Yes, that is a really good one, too.
Besides all that...
We still got to do worse, Jay. I know we both said it's Krampus Christmas Devil, but looking back on this list, do you think that's true? Oh, I forgot. Technically, wasn't Christmas Twister this year, too?
No, I think Christmas Twister was last year.
Was that the end of last year?
I think Christmas Twister was a little bit... was I want to say like last June.
Let me see. Oh, yep, you're right. Episode 25. So, yeah, that would have been last June. Oh, I don't know. Krampus the Christmas Devil is really, really bad, but there's also the Blood Beat, which Jay still defends.
Well, yeah. So here's my thought. Blood Beat was great. And I'm not putting Bikini Bloodbath Christmas as my worst movie of the year because Krampus the Christmas Devil exists.
Yeah, that's true. But we also had, what was that one called? The not as good, The Leech.
Oh, I Trapped the Devil.
Yes, I did not think that one was very good either.
It's still Krampus the Christmas Devil. You can't convince me otherwise.
All right, well, I mean, I was just trying to make it a little more interesting for the audience. But yes, Krampus the Christmas Devil is the worst movie.
Oh my God, it's so fucking bad. Oh, shit.
That was my pick without even thinking about it.
Favorite episode, just kind of thinking back.
Well, Day of the Beast was great because we had Mike with us. That was one of my favorites we did. Anna and the Apocalypse, we had Jerome.
Yeah, we had Matt on for Pranks, a.k.a. The Dorm That Dripped Blood, a.k.a. Yes. Death Dorm.
Yeah, that was also a good one. So
I'm gonna take all that. We had all those great guests. We had, you know, people who will hopefully be making return appearances at some point the near future.
Do you want to make it just straight a you and me episode?
Oh, no, I'm just saying in general. But I think my favorite episode of the year was Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. That was the one I had the most fun editing. I had to cut out all the garbage days to stick them at the end.
Yeah. That was, yeah, I think I agree. That was the one I think we had the most fun making.
You and me just going out of our way to try to avoid saying garbage day.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Oh, but yeah, I think that was my favorite episode. I just had such a blast recording it. I had just a fun time with that one.
Yeah, I'd say the only one that came close, I think, was probably we had a lot of fun talking and disagreeing about Bloodbeat.
That was fun. Bloodbeat and probably Bikini Bloodbath Christmas. Yeah. So I would say those were probably my top three of the year.
The Bloodbeat.
Certainly, I mean, you know, these are our opinions. These are, you know, us thinking back. You know, listeners, if you had a different favorite or if you want to contribute to these to this discussion, post in the YouTube comments or send us a message on social media or send us an email for our Garbage Day segment, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. But yeah, social media, we are all the places at Horror4Holidays, TikTok, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, Twitter/X.
Yes, YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, which is the real subscribe button. Leave us feedback, leave us comments, you know, Let us know how we're doing. Bad, we know.
Tell us how the audio quality has actually gotten worse this year, not better.
Somehow they've been doing it for 2 years, and it sounds worse than the first episode.
I mean, whatever episode sounds the worst is clearly the best episode, because they can't hear us talking as much.
Well, then that would be the one we recorded accidentally on the laptop mic in New Jersey.
Yeah, that was probably our best episode. I could barely hear them. It was great.
If you guys have guest ideas, let us know. If you know somebody who would want to come on the show and talk about a Christmas horror movie, let us know.
Or if you're making a Christmas horror movie or involved in the production in some way, reach out to us either to be on the show or to let us know so we can promote it. We're always looking to talk about more stuff and certainly have more people on.
I mean, even though Mike Lombardo's really fallen off lately, Jay, we can still have him on here.
It doesn't have that drawing power that he used to. I also extended an invite to Matt whenever his new book comes out.
He's still the Riz King, but I don't know. I'd love to talk to Matt again, especially since now we have to hash out this Bikini Bloodbath Christmas business.
I told him he could pick the movie for this time, and he seemed kind of interested in doing Dial Code Santa Claus. So.
Oh, my God. Well, yes, if we're doing that, we have to have him on for that.
So, yeah, we'll...
If he's a Dial Code Santa Claus fan.
So, yeah, we'll get to that point at some point, have Matt back on. And then, I guess, subscribe on your podcatcher of choice. 5 stars, leave a review, tell us how bad we are.
Indeed. We should get Jerome back on here, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Promote his new book.
Yeah, the next, Holiday Spirits 4 at some point soon. And then, other than that, tell a friend. You know, let people know you listen to the show if you think they'd enjoy it. As we always say, you know, that's more influential than, you know, anything else, than YouTube algorithms and podcast reviews. You know, telling friends and telling people that you like this show, you know, helps spread the word and gets more people involved and helps kind of build this Christmas horror community that us and Matt and like-minded people are building.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if I get a recommendation from Jay, I'm going to take that a lot more seriously than some asshole on Reddit.
Yep, exactly. Oh, yeah, those Reddit assholes have only steered me right on a podcast, I think, one time, so...
Now you just got lucky on that one.
Yeah, pretty much. I've even told the creator, I'm like, normally I don't take Reddit people seriously, but enough people were like, listen to your podcast, that I started listening to your podcast. But yeah, other than that, thanks for listening. Thanks for another 2 years. Jeff, thanks for putting up with me for 2 years.
Oh, it's no trouble, Jay. Thank you for putting up with me and my terrible, terrible voice.
And we'll, thank you for all the road trips. We'll have to be making another one here soon.
Very soon. A road trip is in the making.
Yeah, have to go.
We have to explore the depths of infinity. And it turns out at the center of the black hole, Jay, is a bottle of Dew.
There's a 7-Eleven of some kind. And also, maybe Pitch Black is going to be a 7-Eleven exclusive at some point soon.
Apparently. That's what I've been hearing.
So we might also have to make a trip for that.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Garbage day.
Garbin time.
It's garbin time, boys. It's tile sawn time.
Sawing some tiles, making lots of noise.
Jay Logsdon wasn't happy with his bathroom, so now we must all suffer. He's like, I can't take a shit in here. This is ridiculous.
Here's the thing that really ticks me off. They were supposed to do this Monday and Tuesday, and then we were supposed to have, you know, free sounds for recording, and instead they moved it back to Tuesday, Wednesday, so now we get to listen to this while we're recording.
Which, again, folks, I don't know if you're going to hear this or not, but these rooms are tiny. They're regular-sized bathrooms. I don't get how this is taking so long, but whatever.
You can say that again.
Because they've been at this for, what, a month now?
I think just over a month, like today. Anyway.